The Lord's good, and the church said, Amen. This is our third teaching from the book of Proverbs, and the sermon is entitled, The Lord Gives Wisdom. If you have your handout, we'll begin with the introduction. As we open to our third teaching from the book of Proverbs, we recall that early on we were taught that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and that fools despise wisdom and instruction. They head for destruction. All wisdom hinges on a true relational knowledge of the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, if you have no fear of God, then you will never have wisdom. All wisdom hinges on a true relational knowledge of the Lord. After learning that, Solomon then exhorted us to receive the Proverbs as the wise instruction of our loving Father, determining not to forsake the teachings, having received them as from our loving mother. The Proverbs come to us as from spiritual parents, raining high and holy blessings upon all who walk the Father's path. So then, two paths are laid before us as those who must make a choice. And it is before us. We are constantly making a choice. We need to get up early every morning, seek God early, and determine that day to follow Him. Amen? There's two paths before us. Will we follow after our Father in all wisdom, walking in the rewards of righteousness, or will we choose to go the way of fools, walking in evil, death, and destruction? Know the Lord, fearing Him, or despise wisdom and knowledge. Choose today who you will serve. Well, finding ourselves at this crossroad, letter A, we come to the 20th verse of the first chapter, where wisdom is personified as a mother, crying out that we should travel the path of wisdom, that we should be upright and blameless before the Lord. This is what Proverbs calls us to, right relationship with God, and then coming to that relationship where we fear the Lord, living a life before God, holy and blameless. Verses 20 and 21. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. Much like the invitation to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, number one, wisdom cries out, inviting all to follow. The question is, who will hear and believe what wisdom says? Who will apply her wise proverbs living in the fear of the Lord? Just as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and just as truth-saving faith is always acted upon, for faith without works is dead, so too with wisdom. Letter A, as we fear the Lord, wisdom comes by hearing wisdom's cry, believing her truth, and acting upon her instruction. Dear one, if you hear the words of wisdom from the scripture, from God himself, and refuse to act upon this wisdom, then you have not believed the word of God. And worse, having heard, you reject wisdom, calling wisdom the fool. But it is the fool who despises wisdom. Wisdom is not silent. She is all around you, crying aloud, seeking to be your guiding companion in every place, in every situation. Listen for her. She speaks. Beloved, since she is everywhere crying out, then why would we ever act ignorantly? We are without excuse for our foolish doings. We bear the blame for the suffering brought on by our own foolishness and the foolishness of our associates. The guilt of foolishness is upon our own heads, for wisdom has been crying out all along. But church, praises to God, if you hear this message, if you're hearing this today, right now, wisdom still shouts out to you. While we cannot retrieve yesterday, we can, by the grace of God, apply wisdom to today and tomorrow, for she cries out even now at this very moment, desiring to restore what foolishness has marred. Wisdom cries aloud to you, and if you will hear her cry, then it is not too late. Hear her voice, be restored to Christ. She emphatically shouts this way, verses 22 and 23, "How long, O naive ones, will you love simplicity? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge." Here, wisdom addresses those who to this point have refused to listen. There are the naive, who are really the most teachable of this lot, being immature and without experience in life, but who may resist the thought of growing up and acting responsibly. They don't know what to do. Sometimes they don't want to do what is right, but they're teachable. And then there are the scoffers. Those are those who hear wisdom and then reject her by mocking her wise statements. And then there are the out-and-out fools who simply and thoroughly despise wisdom and knowledge. They hate it. All these, the naive, the scoffers, the fools, they need to heed the cry of wisdom coming to fear the Lord, knowing him to be their God and the God of all wisdom. Letter B, wisdom cries out to such as these, the naive, scoffers, and fools, asking, "How long? How long will you refuse to hear and act upon her truth? How long will you bring trouble to your life, stripes to your back, sorrow to your soul, and destruction to your home? How long? How long will you persist in this place of stupidity? How long?" Now, church, as this cry goes out to the naive, the scoffer, and the fool, those who are wise will ask this question: am I naive? Am I a scoffer? Am I a fool? I think the tendency is for us to hear about the naive, the scoffers, and the fool and say, "I know some of those." But there might be one more than you think. The wise one will ask this question: am I naive? Am I a scoffer? Am I a fool? And where am I naive? Where have I scoffed? Where have I acted in foolishness? And then the wise will examine their life with earnestness to see where they stand by considering the condition of their life. The question isn't what one thinks of themselves. The question is, what does their life reveal about them? Our station in life is the outflow of our decisions, where we live under the blessings of God's applied wisdom or the pains of our foolishness. The one who assumes they do not fall into one of these categories is apt to deceive themselves. The one who thinks themselves wise may, by their own life, prove they are not. The lot of the naive, the scoffer, and fool is destruction, ruin, pain, suffering, and sorrow. And being naive, a scoffer, and a fool, they blame everybody else for the troubles, but they're the troubles they brought on their own head. No, it's that other person's fault. Well, who told you to associate with them? Number one, wake up, O sleeper. Wake up. That's for you who are literally sleeping in church. And the fool. There's hope for wisdom, cries out, verse 23, "Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you." Oh, my goodness, church. Here's wisdom's loving invitation. Turn to my reproof. Oh, but immediately, the foolish are offended. Reproof? Who do you think you are? I'll show her. I'll show wisdom. I'll go my own way. No one's going to rule over me. I know what I'm doing. I know best. And indeed, by going their own way, they do show wisdom something. They show her that they are either naive or a scoffer or an out-and-out fool. By rejecting wisdom, they harm themselves and those near them. They do no injury to wisdom, but they prove her actually very wise. Turn to my reproof. Here the Hebrew word turn speaks of the act that follows repentance. as one comes to repent of their foolishness, they will act, turning about, following wisdom. They will receive the reproof of wisdom. And to those who follow wisdom, there are promises of blessings. Wisdom will pour out her spirit on you. Oh, think of it, church, to be endued with the spirit of wisdom. There would be no problems in the church if we all moved in the wisdom of God. Amen. With the God-granted spirit of wisdom upon you, the words of wisdom will be made known to you. You'll have insight, understanding, comprehension. You will possess understanding, and your life will be blessed as you understand the issues of life, knowing how to respond with applied wisdom. It's very important that you know wisdom. You have a relationship with wisdom. It's a part of you. You share in wisdom. Dear one, why live a life of a naivety, of scoffing and foolishness, when if you will but turn to wisdom's reproof, she will grant you her spirit and understanding? Now tell me where there's even a choice in that. Certainly there's only one sane choice. Fear God. Submit to wisdom. Hear her cry. Turn to her reproof. Amen? But now, if you harden your heart against her, refusing to fear the Lord, then wisdom pronounces your future. And wisdom is not inaccurate in this. This is your future. Wisdom says this, verse 24 through 27, because I called you and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof, I will even laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes like a storm, and your calamity comes on like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come on you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. That's a frightening thought. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. That shall not carries the idea of being prevented. They will be prevented from finding me. Roman number 2, wisdom will not always strive with the foolish. If one persistently refuses to hear wisdom, then wisdom will not hear their desperate cry. If one will not respect wisdom, refusing to take her hand, then wisdom will pay no attention to them when they reach out their hand. If you neglect her counsel and refuse her reproof, then she will cease to offer you the blessings of her counsel and her reproof. Indeed, she will laugh at your calamity and mock when your dread comes. She will say, I told you so. Did you think me a liar? Why didn't you listen? I gave you the wisdom to keep you out of this mess. You get in this mess and say, give me wisdom. Why didn't you do what I said? You can be sure of this, that even though wisdom cries aloud for your hearing, as one defiantly and purposely refuses her, when dread storms upon them and calamity comes upon them like a sudden whirlwind, when they are distressed and filled with anguish, even to the depth of their soul, they will remember the cry of wisdom that they refused her. But they'll be saying, now, what did she say? Why learn your lessons from the rod of discipline when wisdom cries to you early, offering mercy with grace? Countless have lived to regret the day they despised wisdom, and the church can say, amen. Oh, young people, spare yourself by fearing the Lord and following him now. You do not need to dabble in that which is sinful. Don't taste, don't touch. but serve the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I tell you, by the word of God, you will live a blessed life of God. More than anything, you will have peace with God. Amen? I'm telling you, countless have lived to regret the day they despised wisdom. Beloved, if you refuse wisdom, the day comes when guilt and regret will swallow you whole. And believe me, dread comes upon the fool. Letter A. If you will not fear the Lord, then soon you will learn to fear him. For the scripture says, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Mock wisdom, and wisdom will mock you. Ignore wisdom, and wisdom will ignore you. Wisdom pays in kind. Receiver, blessings. Refuser, pain. Toil, torment, regret, guilt. Pharaoh, he foolishly hardened his heart against God, amen? And what does the Bible say? And God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Exodus 7, chapter 7 through 11, and also chapter 14. You can find that verbiage. Romans 1, 28 indicts foolish people saying, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, they didn't want to acknowledge God, God then gave them over to a depraved mind. The foolish say, I would rather be depraved. And God says, okay, you can have it. Now, the fool's so foolish, he doesn't actually put it out like that, but what's he saying? I'm not going to obey God. I'm not going to fear God. I love my depravity. Okay, great. The Lord says, you can have a depraved mind. Then how will they come about? Refuse God, and soon he will refuse you, and so with wisdom. Letter B. Refuse wisdom long enough, and soon her cry will turn silent. And then how will you hope to know what to do? You won't even know how to hope, let alone actually know what to do. Does that happen? Oh, yes. Yes. How many times have we talked to people? I don't know what to do, no matter what I do. It's a mess. Turn to God. I don't know what to do. Here wisdom's refusal to continue to talk to the persistent fool is actually shown in the text. Look at this. Got your Bible open? Note what happened between verses 27 and 28. In the 27th verse, wisdom personally addressed the naive, the scoffing, and the fool. But in the 28th verse, she no longer speaks to them, but rather tells of them for the learning of those who are wise. I tell you, hear wisdom's cry and fear the Lord before it is too late, for soon wisdom will refuse to speak to you. What of those who refuse wisdom, verses 29 through 32, because they hated knowledge? It did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For their waywardness of the naive, for the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. Letter C. Because fools hate knowledge and do not choose the fear of the Lord, rejecting wisdom's counsel, spurning her reproof, so will they eat the rotten produce of their evil ways, filled full of their own evil devices. Have you ever heard the saying, you are what you eat? Mm-hmm. The fool will eat the produce of their evil ways. Their waywardness will kill them. Their complacency will destroy them. Like a man who roams about refusing to ask for directions, the foolish will be lost having refused the directions freely given by wisdom. They shall contribute to their own death by seeking their own life, as we actually learned last week. In devising another's death, they devise their own death. Sons and daughters, let me tell you today, it doesn't have to be that way for you. This doesn't have to be your lot, for wisdom cries out, verse 33, he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. Dear one, will you listen to wisdom as your own mother? Refuse her not, but love her, believe her, and follow after her, and you will live securely, knowing the sure path you travel, knowing you travel the path of wisdom, fearing the Lord. You will have the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, even in the most difficult times, being at rest and ease, having no dismay of evil and its dreaded end, for you know your end in Christ Jesus. What a blessing is ours. What a blessed life is ours if we fear God and receive his wisdom. This brings us to the second chapter, where we again are addressed as sons, verses 1 through 4. My son, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. If you will cry for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures. I've got a verse that kind of goes along with that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Roman numeral 3. Here is our Father's instruction. We are to actively receive wisdom. You have to be receptive. Here is the most precious gift, a divine gift from above, wisdom. How do we receive her? Letter A, by receiving his saying, treasuring his commandments, making our ear attentive, inclining our heart, crying and lifting our voice, seeking and searching for wisdom. When it comes to seeking wisdom, we are not to be passive, but passionately active. You can't be lazy in your Christian walk. You know why? Because you're to be holy as your Father's holy, and he's not lazy. It's unholy to be lazy. It's holy to actively pursue the Lord. Amen? So here we're called to seek first his kingdom, beloved, as Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Why? Because everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. And the scripture goes on to say that our Father in heaven will give what is good to those who ask him. There it is. Fear the Lord and ask him. Hear wisdom. Receive her reproof. James 1:5 affirms, if any of us lacks wisdom, we should ask of God, believing, amen? And God, who gives to all generously, will give without reproach. Boy, God's never going to bawl you out for asking for wisdom. And this is the very thing that is expressed in our Proverbs. Our Father, from whom all blessings flow, will bless us with what we seek and ask. For verses 5 through 9 say, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice. He preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course. Letter B. As we give ourselves to the instruction of chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we will then, by his grace, discern the fear of the Lord, discovering the true knowledge of God. To discern, church, is to know and understand with comprehension, with application following, distinguishing between right and wrong. To discern the fear of the Lord, then, is to understand what it is to fear the Lord. to know the Lord, to comprehend that, and live in the fear of the Lord. Listen, if you mine for the treasures God bestows, then you will find his treasures. He will make sure of it. Here is an example. We have the Bible. Amen. Here is God's word given to us all. Amen. Now, how much are we going to get out of it? What blessings will we receive from the word? Well, though God has given us his word, the measures of blessings we receive are directly related to the measure of our reading, our studying, our seeking, our asking, and meditating. Is that not true? We all have the same Bible, I hope. God's given it to us all. Why does one man prosper in God's word and the other one doesn't? Is it not directly related to a man's study, his seeking of God? So surely, we do not think he will bless us with an abundance of the precious jewels to be found in his word if we do not dedicate ourselves to mining in his word. If you're looking for gold, go where the gold is. Well, that's a word of wisdom, right? If you're looking for wisdom, go where the wisdom is. God grants wisdom. Amen. Amen. As we fear him, wisdom is freely given us, ours for the appropriating. So then, how shall we apprehend what he has given? We must dedicate ourselves to the study of him through his word, which, beloved, is why every Sunday we're digging into the word of God. If we ever stop that, you need to confront the leadership or find yourself another church. We must dedicate ourselves to the study of God through his word, exalting Christ through his word. Amen? We need to receive his sayings, and then will he bless us with the discernment of the fear of the Lord, along with a knowledge of Almighty God. The activities of verses 1 through 4 are such as God blesses and rewards, giving what only he can give: wisdom, knowledge, understanding. God has a storehouse of sound wisdom, and he gives generously to those who seek him. He is not stingy, but freely grants wisdom to those who fear him. Yet at the same time, you can be sure of this, he does not cast his pearls before the swine. You must ask, seek, knock, receive, and appreciate his words, and then in them you will find his wisdom granted. Let her see. And what blessings? Throughout this, you see a cursing and a blessing. Choose today which way you're going to go, right? Let her see. And what blessings, as we receive from him wisdom, shields us who walk in godly integrity. God, through wisdom, guards the path of justice, so we will walk in innocence before him. Those who seek him and whom he gives wisdom are his godly ones, and through wisdom he preserves their way, making their path straight. Then and only then, when you have sought the Lord, coming to fear him, desiring his good and perfect wisdom, will he cause you to discern what is righteous and just, equitable, and of every good course of life. Beloved, get this. Father says he grants these things to those who fear him. Fear him. Seek wisdom. And there you will find the wisdom of God. Seek God and find him, and you will have found wisdom. He gives it to you. Study him. Read his word. Appreciate him. Meditate on him. Set your mind on him. And beloved, he blesses you. I tell you. And then there's this marvelous thing here, because we are to seek God. We are to find his wisdom. We are to listen to wisdom's cry. But once we've done all that and we find the Lord and we fear him, what we find out is that he all along was crying out to us, bringing us to himself. Amen? So he gets all the glory. Again, what blessings? 4 verses 10 through 15. Wisdom will enter your heart. and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Letter D. Seek God first, and he will cause wisdom to enter your heart, making knowledge your ever-present joy, and the discretion of wisdom will guard your heart and mind, watching over your soul, preserving you for the day. And then, as temptations come, you will know what is right. And from such evildoers, as we learned last week, Chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. Wisdom will deliver us from them. We will not be taken in by them, for wisdom is our guide. Wisdom will gate us in. By wisdom, we will recognize their perverse speech for what it is: perverse, twisted, anti-God, and sing for what it is. We will not go with them. Oh, I tell you, we need wisdom. With wisdom rooted deep in our heart, we will not go with those who lead the path of uprightness. We won't join with them as they walk in the path of utter darkness. As they delight in doing evil, we will delight in doing good. As they rejoice in the perversity of evil, we will rejoice in the pleasantness of the knowledge of the Lord. While their paths are crooked, we in wisdom and understanding will walk the straight and narrow path, and we will not dash our foot against the rock, for he will preserve us. Though they are deviants, wisdom will keep us, and we will be the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Now, speaking of those who are perverse, crooked, and deviant, we are now given a specific example of how wisdom keeps us from such a destructive influence. The wisdom and understanding that comes to us as we fear the Lord serves, verses 16 through 19, to deliver us from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves the companion of her youth, and forgets the covenant of her God, for her house sinks down to death, and our tracks lead to the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. Letter E. Receive these great and life-preserving words of God's holy wisdom. Son, don't go off with immoral women, for they are strange, twisted hellions. Let wisdom preserve you. Live in wisdom's understanding. Be faithful to Lady Wisdom, and you will be saved from the unfaithful harlot. And same for you, my daughters. Don't be unequally yoked. Don't let the smooth and flattering words of an unbelieving man sweep you off your feet. Because I tell you, they will sweep you right into the trash can of immorality. You might say, they treat me better than the Christians. For now. But what will be their guide 5 years from now and 10 years from now? Oh, there's a lot of smooth talkers out there. They flatter. Amen? Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. And in pursuing his wisdom, he will grant that you be delivered from the immoral one. In this case, as the scripture puts it, the immoral woman who has no fear of the Lord or regard for your life. Such a stranger is but a devil bent on taking you to hell with her. Wake up! She flatters with her words, but what of her life? Her flatterings are a trap. Look out. She spreads the trap before you at least have as much sense as a bird and fly away. Quick, son, fly to God. Wisdom unveils this woman for who she is, revealing that what she does is much more telling than the words of her deceptive tongue. What does she do? Oh, she flatters with her lips, but what does she do? Well, she leaves the companion of her youth. She is unfaithful. And what man thinks a woman who is unfaithful to her husband will be faithful to him? I'll tell you what, man, the fool. Beloved, think. Possess the wisdom of God. This woman's leaving the companion of her youth shows something much worse. That is that she forgets the covenant of her God. She fears God not, but is defiant. In forgetting the covenant of her God, she violates the commandments. And thus she forgets the covenant she made with her husband. Her unfaithfulness to her husband shows her unfaithfulness to God. She can't be unfaithful to her husband without being unfaithful to God. She was unfaithful to God in her heart before. Her unfaithfulness to her husband shows her unfaithfulness to God. And do you think that if she forgets about her covenant and marriage, that she will honor her word to you, flattering as her words may be? It's a trap. Her words are shallow words meant only to reel you in. For heaven's sake, and I mean that literally, for heaven's sake, be like Joseph when Potiphar's wife sought to seduce him, and with all wisdom of God, escape with your life. Because she's seeking to take it. Don't you know that the immoral woman's house sinks down to death? You enter in unto her, and you've entered the portal of hell. Wisdom tells you that her tracks lead to death. Or have you forgotten about Samson, dear one? Did not Delilah lead him down to death's door? The fool follows such a woman, but those who fear the Lord are delivered. They go, aha, I heard about this. It's a trap, and I'm not going there. Unless you're from Iowa, you'll say, I ain't going there. Number one, oh, and how strong is the immoral woman's deviant pull, for none who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. She leads you away like sheep to the slaughter, like a cow going to the butcher. She entices you with a bit of straw. Dear son, follow wisdom and live. At that, let me take a moment to address pornography. This applies to pornography. Doesn't the wisdom of God cry out warning you that pornography is your ruin? That its deception is as flattering words? All a lie? It's a lie. And pornography's end is death. Oh, Pastor. Well, have you forgotten our Lord's word? Matthew 5, 27 and 28. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Sin is sin, and all immorality is foolishness, and it shows the soul to be on the path of death. Have you no care for your own soul? What fleeting moment of sin-filled excitement will you allow to take away from a life and eternity of joy in Jesus Christ? Further, have you no concern for the lost souls of those whom you view as an object for selfish entertainment? Their souls are in danger of hellfire and by viewing them, you contribute to their condemnation and final demise. You're a murderer. If you have given yourself to such sin, fear the Lord and seek Him earnestly. And dear one, wisdom will deliver you. This is the word of the Lord, and He does not lie. Fear Him, receive His word, listen to wisdom and live and give life. Turn to wisdom's reproof and live, or be a fool and die. Wisdom cries out, fear the Lord and He will grant you wisdom, and then will wisdom keep you, verses 20 and 21, so you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. For the Jew of the Old Testament, to live in the land and remain in it was a promise that they would inhabit the land of Israel, the promised land, symbolic of it going well with them as they live under the great and spiritual blessings of God. To live in the land was to be blessed of God. Making application to us who are of the new covenant, to live in the land and remain in it is first and foremost a state of being, a state of blessedness and following. It is to possess heaven for eternity, now and forever. See then, sons and daughters, how loving and kind wisdom is to those who fear the Lord, for she teaches us to walk in the way of good men, righteous men, keeping the paths of righteousness, pleasantness of life here and now, and there and forever is promised to those who fear Him. Let us, by faith in God, trusting in His word, seek wisdom with all that is in us, knowing then that we will be blessed of the Lord with all spiritual blessings. But as chapter 2 ends, if we will not do this, then wisdom warns us. In contrast to the one who fears the Lord, verse 22, the wicked will be cut off from the land and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. Closing. Wisdom cries out to you. She offers you peace with God and the sure safety of salvation and righteousness. But should you refuse to fear the Lord, and in so doing reject His wisdom, then you will suffer the pains of enmity with God, and you know nothing of the safety of salvation and righteousness you have, and knowing nothing of the safety of salvation and righteousness, you have before you a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of fire which will consume the adversaries of God. Let wisdom speak to you through the 32nd Psalm, verses 8 through 11. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Hear wisdom, fear the Lord, and live. This is what God has for you. Shall we bow our heads? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for being our Father. And it is our confession that you are the Holy Father, the Heavenly Father, the perfect Father. And that you father us rightly. You brought us into your household legitimately. We were born again by the blood of the Lamb. And you brought this about. And so we praise you. We give you thanks. You are a Father. You're perfect. And you're heavenly. There is no other like you. All wisdom belongs to you. So, Lord, may we fear you with reverence. May we have the highest respect for you. In our fear of you, may we sense the great safety we have being in your household, obedient in your arms of protection. And at the same time, may we understand we have much to fear if we rebel against you. But thank you, our Lord, for you discipline those whom you love. So, Lord, should we need it, discipline us. And I beg of you, Lord, discipline us to the point that we come back home. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be out of your household. I don't want to run in the streets. Now, Lord, as we have your word, and it comes to us straightforward today, always does, may we receive of it. And may we see that of our choices, there really is no choice to make. There's only one way to go. And so may it be in our hearts, Lord, that we follow after you and we hear wisdom's cry and we submit to wisdom's instruction. Finding then as we traverse through life that we understand the situations and we have insight into what's going on and we know how we ought to respond. And in that, Lord, you will preserve us and keep us from sin. And we need that, Lord, because we have a great propensity to wander off. Oh, Lord, that sin that lives in us, it brings us about where so often we do the things we know we ought not to do and won't do the things we know we ought to do. And as your word says, if we know what we ought to do and don't do it, it is a sin. There is the sin of commission and the sin of omission. We need your wisdom, Lord, so we understand these things and see them before us and we walk the straight and narrow path. And Lord, in our world where sexual immorality is so forward, touted by much, if not most, of the media as something enjoyable, Lord, may we have your wisdom in these things that we might be protected and kept from the final end of immorality. That we might be wise to the ways of the world, that we will not come near the gates of hell. Lord, that we will be kept safely in the gates of heaven. Lord, I pray for this church and these people, God, that we all, as one, will hear your word of wisdom, receive it, and live by it. And may a lost world look and see the light of God shining in us. And Lord, may we be as a sweet-smelling sacrifice where those who are without wisdom, who do not know Christ, will come and ask, and we will share the truth of Jesus Christ with them, the good news. Lord, if there's any here today who have rejected wisdom so long that they are near unto wisdom rejecting them, may this be the moment of their turning. May they turn to wisdom's reproof and fear you and know you. Grant these things in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, I pray. Amen.